Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Donna W. from California, and I'm a recovered compulsive eater. Today is Tuesday, September 6th. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at page 26, the first paragraph, a certain American businessman finishing with no satisfactory explanation for his fall. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Kathy B., 12 Traditions, Terry H., reading the Big Book section, Reggie O., reading page 164, Kara L., our backup reader is Stephanie L., our newcomer greeter is Jody E., and announcements is Betsy H. Thank you all for your service. The reference numbers for Monday, September 5th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time are 19,368. That's 19368. And for Tuesday, today, September 6th at 7 a.m. Eastern Time is now 19,371. That's 19371. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive eating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I now ask Kathy B. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning. My name is Kathy B. I live in Oklahoma, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service this morning.
Thank you, Kathy B. Next up is Terry H. for the 12 traditions, please.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your service, Donna W. My name is Terry H. I'm from Pensacola, Florida. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater with 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group. Conscious, our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters of affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, our OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, the public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be of service. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Terry H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Books of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose to remind us to identify as compulsive eaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. You're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. On page 26, the first paragraph, a certain American businessman, finishing with no satisfactory explanation for his fall. I now ask Reggie O. to read the Big Book section for us today. And Reggie, you'll need to unmute.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Donna W., for your service this morning and everybody on the line. My name is Reggie O., gratefully recovered and living in Texas. A certain American businessman had ability, good sense, and high character. For years, he had floundered from one sanitarium to another. He had consulted the best-known American psychiatrist. Then he had gone to Europe, placing himself in the care of a celebrated physician, the psychiatrist Dr. Jung, who prescribed for him. Though experience made him skeptical, he finished his treatment with unusual confidence. His physical and mental condition were unusually good. Above all, he believed he had acquired such a profound knowledge of the inner workings of his mind and its hidden springs that relapse was unthinkable. Nevertheless, he was drunk in a short time. More baffling still, he could give himself no satisfactory explanation for his fall. Yeah, that's quite a paragraph. And I didn't have the direct experience of the psychiatrist, Dr. Jung, but I can relate to Roland Hazard in that I was recovered, I believe, for the first time in December of 1989. And my life took off in every direction. And about a year plus later, I was in the Graduate School of Social Work at Smith College, never having thought I would do that. But I had a good relationship with God. That's where I was directed. That's where I went. And we studied a lot of psychoanalysis. We studied Jung. We studied Freud. We studied, you know, all of the great psychiatrists of the time and before. And And I went recovered, and I stayed that way for a period of time until I just was so tired, I just let go and stopped getting on my knees at night. And that was kind of like the beginning of the slipping away. But I was very excited about my studies and graduated. And I didn't go into a full relapse, but I graduated and I left, coming back to Boston where I lived at the time. And I let go of my program quite a lot because I now believed that I had the, I knew myself, right? That self-knowledge I had learned, I just learned all the inner workings of the mind, not to mention other facets that, can involve addiction and alcoholism. I don't know that I ever reached again the peak that I did when I, during that period of time, but it set me in good stead for quite a long period of time professionally and just about on every level. And slowly but surely, I let it go and didn't keep with the program like I was accustomed to. Not only that, I didn't know about the allergy and the mental twist. And, I heard someone say later, many years later in a meeting, don't let the gifts of the program keep you from the gifts of the program. And I thought, wow, that's exactly what I had done. The gifts of this program had opened up my life in every direction, every way, and slowly but surely, I let them go. I let them go and the disease took over again, and it was only in hindsight that I could see that because I kept believing that, I can work this through. I can work this through. I know what's going on. So, the learning, that I bring and that I bring back today, the same thing happened to Roland. He thought he, obviously, I just read that. And I heard once, I don't think I ever read it, that he was on his way, that first treatment I think he was in France. I'm not sure. Switzerland. And anyway, he was drunk before he left the airport, and he did come back again. So with that, I'll pass. And thanks for letting me share this morning.
Thank you, Reggio. Okay, so now we will open up the lines for sharing. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared on Friday or Monday, then please join. And if you haven't shared ever or for a while, please join. Please give me your first name, first initial of your last name.
Hi, Melanie C. here from Oregon.
Melanie C.
Kara L.
Donna B. Kara L. Donna B.
Jordan L.
Jordan L.
J.L.
J.L.
Robin P.
Okay, we'll stop there. So I have our first lineup, Melanie C., Kara L., Donna B., Jordan L., J.L., and Robin P. Melanie C., go right ahead.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Canby, Oregon. I can relate to this particular paragraph in this way, and that is I too had searched out ways in which I could address the situation that I was in, not knowing at the time that I was an addict. And that's how I read this particular paragraph. They weren't real sure. There was a tremendous amount of treatment going on here, and they weren't apparently real sure about what the real cause of the condition was, and so the treatment that was going to work in this particular case. That's how I read it anyway. And so for me, I had tried several kinds of things along the way and had good periods of time, and mine went more towards specific kind of diet treatments with doctors and then the subsequent psychiatric treatment that went along with that, and there was great promise along with it, and I was convinced each and every time, and I think that's the danger here for me as an addict. I was absolutely convinced because the evidence was so good. I had something that was important to me, which was to lose a considerable amount of weight, went to the doctor, got the things that I needed from that doctor, a medical doctor. And we spoke about it, and it was successful. It took me about 8 or 9 months and had some results that was fantastic. And I came out of that convinced, absolutely convinced, this was the one, this was it. And then I don't know when or how, but I suspect a real quick time later, I was back into it again, baffled even more so than ever. But I didn't give up that human spirit to keep fighting. And so a few years later, I tried some more when the chips were down so bad I couldn't see above my socks. And the same thing happened. Got the medication from the psychiatrist, did all of those things. But the point that I want to leave here for my experience is that it wasn't a treatment for the disease of addiction that is very unique, certainly available to anybody, promised to anybody if it's followed specifically, at least the methodology that I do here in the 12-step rooms. I wasn't given that, and there wasn't even any conversation about that. And so I pursued for years and decades the line that I had, because there were so many new ones coming up, new ideas coming up down that particular line of treatment. And it wasn't even a treatment. It was just, you know, for appeasing my mind as a glutton and as a mental basket case, quite frankly. And until I came into these rooms and found others like me, and we addressed and spoke about addiction and the where the addiction settles, which is in the mind, I didn't get what I have until now. And thank God, you know, 17 years or so ago, somebody showed me the way, and it keeps getting better. Sometimes difficult, clearly, but it's deeper and better and moving forward all the time. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you, Melanie C. Next up is Kara L., and please share where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Oh, thank you to everybody that's doing service and bringing the meeting to us today. Thank you. I love the story of Roland H. here, and because it reminds me of myself. And I always look at, when I'm reading the stories in the big book, to translate them into my experience. So I feel identity. And so I'm more in tune with following the directions in this book. And I can't tell you how many times I have found the solution. I have gone. I have been successful. I have thought, okay, this is it. I have the answer. I will never suffer again. And then, you know, within a very short while, I can't figure out why I'm head deep in the food, compulsive eating, controlling, restricting, just a miserable human being. And then I try again and again and again, something different each time. And it still comes back to that I try. I haven't let go of the self. I haven't let go of the idea that if I just work hard enough, find the right person or the right solution, I will be able to solve this problem for myself. And that's just it. I can't. And as soon as I became vulnerable, and as soon as I admitted that I could not do this, that there had to be something greater than myself, that's when the spiritual awakening came. I was very academic. I could tell you, I could read this book inside and out. I could, you know, our other literature. I could write forever. I could do all of that. But until I took that step and said, all right, I don't know. And I allowed myself to be vulnerable and small and just ask a power greater than myself for help. That's when things started to change. And I don't know what brought it about the last time that it happened, you know, that I had that spiritual awakening. And today I am so happy, because I know today that when I'm trying to fix it myself, that tells me I need to take a step back, slow down, find my higher power, and say, I don't know what I'm doing. Please help me. That I pass.
Thank you, Kara L. Next up is Donna B.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver. Thank you, everyone, for your service. The word that really jumps out at me is floundered. And I have this image of like a fish out of water, like flapping around, floundering. And when I reflect on that word and associate it with my history before coming into OA, it's so deeply painful. To recall how in some areas in my life, you know, I took initiative and followed through and there were outcomes and things felt manageable, that they felt somewhat predictable, that there was an algorithm that made sense. But when it came to my weight and exercising and eating and not eating and laxatives and all of the outside sources of help that I sought, like nothing made sense. I felt defeated. I felt powerless. I felt hopeless, depressed, anxious, agitated, all the things. Like, no matter how much I accomplished in my life, because I woke up every morning swearing I would not binge, and by the end of the day I had binged, the idea that I was a failure was so entrenched in my self-conscious, it just felt true. There was no evidence to deny this belief in my mind, because I said I wouldn't binge, and I did, day after day after day. So I concluded that I was a failure, a loser. And that was an extremely painful way to live. And no amount of therapy and no amount of medication could convince me otherwise. And today, one of the things that I'm grateful for is that I don't feel like a failure and a loser. Not because I accomplished something finally, but because I let go and got the help that I needed. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. Next up is Jordan L.
I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. I wasn't able to be on the meeting yesterday. It was weird. Yesterday felt like Sunday, very much so, because of the holiday weekend. But anyway, putting that aside, there was a really important paragraph yesterday. So this middle of the road solution. I went to Denver this weekend and decided to binge listen to Vision for You special edition recordings, because apparently that's what I do for fun these days. But I got a good reminder that the way that Bill writes is he talks about a really important concept and then gives you an example of it right afterwards. So this American businessman, Roland Hazard, he's our example of there is no middle of the road solution. He is the example of our two alternatives. Alternative number one, blotting out the consciousness of our intolerable situation, which at this point, I'm like a full-blown real compulsive overeater. So the intolerable situation is abstinence. that's what I can't seem to tolerate. number two alternative is accepting spiritual help. And I got to tell you, like, I have, I'm like Roland, man. Like, I am in control of my destiny, you know? I am American, God damn it. I am living the American dream, and I am doing my thing, and I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to go to all the places that I want to go in life as a result of my hard work. And I, like, I'm doing this, and I'm doing it independently on my own. I am the master in control, you know? And I Bill knew that. I love that he refers to him as an American businessman, because it's totally, like, it paints the picture immediately, you know, of, like, who this dude is. Come to find out, he's that example of accepting spiritual help. So, more to come. Thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan L. Next up is JL.
Good morning, everyone. My name is JL, compulsive eater, calling from Rhode Island. I've always loved the story of Roland Hazard. As a compulsive eater, I suffer from many different aspects of this. Give me one second. I'm a vomit bulimic and laxative bulimic and restrictor and compulsive eater. I got everything. But I haven't suffered from those things in almost 2 years now through this fellowship. And I can remember all of the diet books and self-help books and all of that, all the self-knowledge that I kept trying to learn about nutrition and my issues with food and all that. And I would find myself standing over the toilet again. And it was just like, does anything work? And none of this literature I read talked about using laxatives as a diet method. But I was, because that's what I thought worked. I have the wonderful opportunity being here in Rhode Island. Over the summertime, I found Roland Hazard's gravesite in South Kingston, Rhode Island. And when I went there to visit, I was a two-time winner, because not only am I food abstinent in this program, but I'm also a member of the beverage program. And I stood over that gravesite, and I couldn't help but leave my coin there, similar to how people leave coins at Bill W.'s grave and Dr. Bob's grave, which I've been to both of those. This felt just as ceremonial, if you will, by putting my coin on Roland Hazard's grave. So thank you, and I hope you all have a wonderfully abstinent day.
Thank you, JL. Next up is Robin P., and then we'll take more shares.
Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, and we're currently in Florida and normally in Costa Rica. Whew, I really love this whole story, because I love the subsequent paragraphs and knowing that, you know, he was hopeless unless he had a spiritual awakening. And to be hopeless, I felt that hopelessness. I've lived with that hopelessness and just wanting to die and not letting that day be like the day before. And then somehow that day was exactly like the day before. And feeling, how did this happen again? And I, you know, the definition of insanity, doing that same thing over and over again, hoping for a different result, until I had that profound spiritual awakening and turned my will and my life over to the care of God, I was hopeless. And surprising, I was surprised. I'm like, what? How did this happen again? Which is so insane. You know, left to my own devices, the result was always new. And so I am so grateful today to be abstinent, and by God's grace, I have a fog in my throat, sorry. Yeah. By God's grace, I've been abstinent for 6 years, one day at a time, and you know, it's the solutions in this book, and I am eternally grateful for all of you and to God. And My husband and I are planning a 3-month trip through Europe, and you know, it's because of abstinence and recovery that we can do this. And we look forward to meeting people in Europe in the program, and it's just, it's really thrilling to be actually, this is a dream of ours, and to be able to have our dreams come true because of abstinence and recovery. And I'm so grateful. God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinence day. I thank you.
Thank you, Robin P. So before we take the next lineup, I want to remind you that we're reading page 26, the first paragraph, a certain American businessman finishing with explanation for his fall. And we remind you that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. And especially if you've never shared, take the opportunity to dive in today. Please share your first name and first initial of your last name.
Stephanie L.
Stephanie L. All right, Stephanie, you want to get started? And if then after that, we'll take more folks.
Sure. Don O.
Don O.
Okay. Oops, sorry.
Go ahead, Stephanie.
Well, good morning, everyone. Quiet crowd this morning. My goodness. Stephanie L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. And yeah, there's a lot of history in this paragraph. And, you know, I'm not really a big book scholar, but I know that if things hadn't gone a certain way, then I wouldn't be living this miracle today. And, you know, and here's what I know. I know that I have had a lot of therapy in my lifetime. I've even had a short stint of being hospitalized for this disease. It didn't solve the problem. You know, I had therapists who met well. I had an eating disorder therapist. I had an eating disorder nutritionist for binge eating. It didn't solve the problem. And it, you know, it sounds like Roland Hazard had like this celebrated, you know, psychiatrist, Dr. Young, and it still didn't solve the problem. And just like him, you know, I've been in this program for a while, and I'm about, I don't know, a year and 7 months or a year and 8 months out of an awful relapse. And I had knowledge of this book. I had knowledge of these steps, right? I really didn't think that I would relapse again. I, you know, just like him, acquired such profound knowledge of the inner workings of my mind and my disease. But here's the problem that I've learned. Information is not transformation. I had knowledge, but I didn't, like, it's not about having knowledge or intellect or, you know, having the right therapist or having even the right sponsor. My mind cannot fix this problem. You know, this broken mind of mine cannot fix this problem. It is a spiritual solution that I can't fathom how it works. I don't know why my problem with wanting to eat, you know, like dozens of cookies and crap, why is that problem, okay, solved by finding a power greater than myself who is solving my problem, right? I don't understand how it works. My puny brain can't fathom it, right? But what I do know is that it is a program of action. And when I take action and when I do things, when I work the steps as outlined in the big book, and I don't overthink it, and I don't try and figure it out, and I don't try and control it, and I don't try and go A plus B equals C, period, right? Because that's how my brain likes to work. When I don't do that, and I humbly
see
power, then something miraculous happens, and it happens one day at a time. And thank you for letting me share, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Stephanie L. Next up is Dawn O, and then we'll take some more names after Dawn.
Hi, I'm Dawn O from Oregon, and I am so grateful for this program that as I listened and I'm thinking to myself, gosh, how many programs did I try? How many diets did I go on? How, you know, and I've always considered myself a, you know, a fairly intelligent person. Why couldn't I get it? Why am I different than the person sitting next to me who can, you know, just turn away from food and I couldn't? But when I was in OA for about 10 years, I think, and during the pandemic, I decided, you know, I don't think I have this problem. I don't really need to do this work anymore. And I think I went 2 or 3 weeks like that before it slowly came back, the cravings, the obsession of the mind, all of it. And I relapsed. And this time coming out of it, I know I'm a compulsive overeater and I'll always be. I may be recovered, and sorry about the dog, but thank you all for being there. Bye.
Thank you, Dawn. Oh, okay. I think we have time for at least 3 shares who would like to be added to the lineup.
Good morning, Terry D.
Was that Terry D?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Yvonne D.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Yvonne D.
Yvonne D.
Hi, it's Ricky H.
And Ricky H. So we'll keep it there, Ricky H. So I have Terry D, Yvonne D, and Ricky H. Go ahead, Terry.
Good morning. This is Terry D.
And everyone else, please mute.
Good morning. This is Terry D from Virginia, recovered compulsive overeater. Very grateful. Thank you so much. Therapy has a beautiful place, and it did not help with the compulsion to eat and to exercise. In the day, many years ago, I consider myself an avid exercise person, but I really was exercising to control my intake of food, so I would binge and exercise many hours. Early on in my 20s, and I stopped that. I just couldn't keep it up. But when I first entered OA's rooms, I lost quite a bit of weight without spirituality. And I'm very grateful that Roland Hazard had Carl Jung and stayed with him and realized that spirituality, the spiritual experience or spiritual contact is fundamental to working the program, to living my life. So yes, I left the rooms many years ago thinking it was all OA's fault. I can't live without sugar. I'm not a compulsive overeater. And, you know, years later, I couldn't solve this problem by myself. I need you guys. I need God. And I need to tap into this God power one moment at a time. And I am very, very grateful for you guys. I pass.
Thank you, Terry D. Next up is Yvonne D, followed by Ricky H.
Hi, good morning. My name is Yvonne D. I'm super new to OA. I am a little nervous, so I don't know why, but everybody's so well-spoken. I could really relate to everybody's response to the paragraph. There was one woman who said, I consider myself a smart woman, and why it took so long to respond to get it. I myself have had breast cancer, and during that time, I believe, I've always been a believer, but had a wonderful connection with the Lord and was able to lose a lot of weight, get healthy, get through the cancer treatment, and I thought I had it. I thought I get it. You know, it's God's way. But even with that knowledge, I think I became, or I don't know exactly, maybe I thought, okay, I got this. I don't really need God. And, you know, I get it, Lord, what you want me to do. And slowly drifted away from God's presence. And, of course, slowly gained the weight back. And here I am again, not taking a while for it to get through me to my head that I can't do this on my own. Like somebody else said, not even with the best sponsors. I need to get down on my knees and have just give it over to the Lord and not in my own strength. And I get continual messages from different sources that's telling me to let my flesh go and let the Spirit in and guide me through these steps of OA. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Yvonne D., and welcome. And next up is Ricky H. And let's see, after Ricky, I think we'll have time for at least one, maybe two shares.
Hi, it's Ricky H., compulsive overeater in the Chicago area. What I keep thinking of today, from today's reading, is I guess my history of relapses. I've been in program for quite some time, many, many years. I think it's probably almost 30, maybe more. But I hadn't worked the steps out of the big book until about 5 years ago, maybe six. But I look at the history of relapses, and for some reason, my thought process was that it was all about food back then. It was all about what I ate or didn't eat or what I did. What, you know, to try to lose the weight or to try to control the binge eating, it was all about the food then. And I noticed today the difference that made the difference for me was that I started realizing it wasn't just about the food. It was about everything I did, how I acted, how I behaved, my relationships with others. And I began to turn it over. I guess that's what made the difference after I worked the steps and continued to do 10 steps and use the tools of the program and nightly reviews. That's when everything started to change and I was able to turn it over to a higher power, which mine is God. And I never had a higher power before that. I never had religion, God, anything in my life. Today, what I do is turn my life and my will over for everything. It's not just food. It's every move I make throughout the day, and I apply the principles of the program to my life, and then I let go, and then I say whatever is meant to be is meant to be, and that's the only thing that could help me get through each day today. I'll pass with that. Thanks.
This is Nancy. Ricky H. Okay, we've got time for two short shares.
Nancy L.
Two full shares. Nancy L. Thank you.
Nancy.
One more. I got you, Nancy. All right, go ahead, Nancy.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Boy, I used to spend many, many years and lots of money on a pay and way. That was my deal, pay and way. And every Saturday I would go in to get weighed. But most weeks, you know, I would really do good at home. I mean, I kept right to the diet and the exercise and all the stuff I was supposed to do and read and everything. But Friday night was the strangest thing. I would get this urge right around 2 a.m. I think I'll go in the kitchen and see what's going on. And of course, that's when I would binge. So now we're looking at, you know, 6 hours from the binge, I'm going to be getting on that scale that I work so hard to see the numbers go down, only to see the numbers go up. This happened Saturday after Saturday after Saturday. And one would say, what is wrong with her mind? Why can't she figure this out? And you know what? The best thing that I found out in OA, especially in a vision, I found out I have a broken mind. It is broken when it comes to the food. I am at it. And I know it now. And now I've been given the steps to and know what to do to walk in freedom today. So there's nothing wrong. If any of you guys out there are wondering what's wrong with your mind, it's okay. It's okay if it's broken, because there is hope for you. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy L. So if anyone wants to take a two-minute share, last call.
Jan S.
Jan S., go ahead.
Hi, this is Jan S. in Southern California. I'm relatively new to A Vision for You, but not to OA and to Al-Anon. But this paragraph really spoke to me because I was dealing with a therapist. And she was a cognitive therapist, and she suggested that I go to OA. And I asked her, I said, what is OA? So she gave me a brief understanding, her understanding of it. And it sort of made me angry because I said, well, I'm talking to you. Why would I need to go and talk to anybody else? And she said, well, they deal directly with an eating issue. And I already knew I had a mental issue, and I already knew I was spiritually bankrupt. So I decided to walk in, but it took me a long time to walk in the rooms. I would sit in the parking lot and cry and then go back. I was terribly depressed and go back. But one day I walked in the rooms, and when I walked in, I was handed a big book. Someone had gifted the meeting with a big book for a newcomer, and when I was handed that book, I knew I'd been handed a solution. I didn't understand it, didn't know how it was going to work, but I had a physical connection, and the person that handed it to me today is still a dear friend. So I feel like I've been handed another solution by getting into this program. I've been looking for a group to study the big book for years, and here you are. And I absolutely love it, and I'm grateful that I could share today. I need to start hearing my own voice and speaking my own truth and growing. I've just come out of a relapse, but I know this too can pass if I am willing to do the work. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Janice. Thank you for everyone who shared today. And thank you for all of our readers. We had Kathy B., Terry H., Reggie O., Kara L., Stephanie L., Jody E., Betsy H. Thank you all for your service. We will now close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Kara L., please, A Vision for You, our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, this is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.